You know, in baseball, hitters get a walk-up song. And I think if I could pick mine for sermons, it may become Thou Fount. That the line, tune my heart to sing thy grace, is kind of captured in our prayer that I say every time in the midst of my sermon, that my words are not mine, but they've ever, by the grace of God, become his. So I do pray this morning that he tunes my heart to sing his grace. Having kids has taught me something that I believe to be true about humanity, that in the beginning, we don't like to share. Kids, particularly really young kids, struggle with the idea of sharing the things that they have declared to be mine. Particularly been true with Libby, our two-year-old, and our twin seven-year-olds, that as Libby has gotten a new toy or a gift, and the older sibling wants to grab it and play with it, she quickly screams and grabs them and grabs the toy and says, "No, that's mine." The twins, a little bit older, having experienced a little parenting and heard us say sharing is caring and that it's good to share with your siblings, they understand that it's good to share the things that you have, because if you share with your sibling, you get their toys too. You get all of the things as you share. It's proved true to be my relationship with Shauna as well. Early on, we went on a date. We hadn't been dating that long. She ordered a burger and fries. I ordered some food. I finished mine quickly because I eat very fast. And then I grabbed one of her French fries. She gave me a look that I was too immature and not aware enough in our relationship to know that that look meant something, that I've done something wrong. And I grabbed another fry and she said, "I don't like to share my food." I learned a lesson in that moment. But over time, as we've grown deeper in love with one another, I'm happy to report that she'll share her food with me. I think we all have a tendency to hold on to the things that we declare are ours. But what has proven true with my children and with my wife, that as we grow, we recognize there's power in sharing. There's some depth and there's some beauty in sharing. Rooted and established in love, we share with one another. And as we share with one another on the other side, we see that it gives that person joy. And if you share food, you get full. Today, we're looking at a passage where God's grace is powerfully at work among the believers. It's the description we get from Luke and Acts, is that God's grace is powerfully at work among them. At the very beginning of the passage, before we see God's grace powerfully at work among them all, we see that they shared everything. Today we're going to look at this passage and look at really why they shared. We see radical generosity as a result of it, but looking at their hearts and looking at their mind that were united in this moment, why did they share? And in doing that, look at each other and look at this local church and ask the question, what does that look like for us? So let's pray. Spirit of living God, we ask that you move in this place. Move in our hearts, move in our minds, and prepare us to receive you. Father, I pray in these moments, these words that I have prepared will become yours, and that your grace will move through me, and if not through me, then in spite of me. You would to take a moment to pray for yourself, that God would have a word for you today. If you'd be so kind to pray for me, that God will make me helpful to you. So over the last few weeks, we've looked at kind of our response to, or the method in pursuing God's greatness, recognizing that there's a great call in our life to holiness, there's a great commission to make disciples of all the nations, and there's this great commandment to love God and to love neighbors. And so what does that look like for us? We've said it looks like sharing our prayers with one another in a way that builds one another up in discipleship, but also using prayer as a tool of evangelism to reach those that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. In the same way we care for one another to build up the family of God, and we care for one another, and I love this line from Jeff last week, to be the bridge between unbelief and the good news of the gospel. That we care for one another to bridge the gap between unbelief and the good news of the gospel. And today we're going to begin looking at sharing, looking at this picture of the early church, looking back to these unnamed and unremembered saints. That's oftentimes this passage is coupled with Acts 2. the end of Acts 2, as the church has devoted themselves to a number of things and they have this unity, we look at Acts 4 along with it. In the first verse, in verse 32, says, all the believers were in one heart and one mind. They were in one heart and one mind. And if you just read this passage outside of all of Acts, you're like, well, that's pretty impressive. How did it happen? I'll tell you how it happened. In Acts 1, before Jesus ascended, he looked at his followers and said, I have a gift for you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. I'm going to give you a piece of me. I'm going to go, and I told you that he's going to be a helper. He's going to be a teacher. He's going to continue to tell you things, what it looks like to live in response to my love. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and as you receive the Holy Spirit, you're going to go and you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go and be my witnesses. In the meantime, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. They find themselves in Jerusalem. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit. Pentecost happens. The Holy Spirit descends upon that room like a mighty rushing wind, and something incredible happens. These believers begin to talk with tongues of fire and have a boldness that is beyond their humanity. And Peter floods into the streets and begins to preach this powerful message from the Spirit that tells the world around them that Jesus Christ, who you crucified, he is the one that all of the Old Testaments pointed to. Through his life and through his death and through his resurrection, you have the opportunity to be forgiven of your sins and live a new life. It all points to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. All of these things have been leading up to this point in time. So repent, turn away from the way that you've been living and believe in the gospel. And then 5,000 were added to their numbers. The church blew up. And they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to breaking bread and to prayer and to fellowship and to teaching. They devoted themselves to these things. And the Lord continued to add to their number daily those that were being saved. And they got busy doing the things of the church. Peter went out to the temple one day and he saw a lame beggar by the gate, and he prayed for him and healed him in the name of Jesus. The Sanhedrin weren't okay with that, so they arrested Peter and John. Peter and John found themselves in jail, and they said, why are you doing these things? How are you doing these things? And said, it's all about Jesus. We continue to speak, and we're going to continue to act in the name of Jesus. And they're like, we're going to let you go, but you got to quit saying the name of Jesus. And said, we can't help it. We can't help but do work in the name of Jesus. They were released. They went back to the believers, and they had these incredible prayers together. They prayed in a way that the walls of the place that they were in shook. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. And all the believers were in one heart and mind. That's where we find this early church, having seen the power of the Holy Spirit, having experienced the reality and the power of the resurrection, finding themselves with a united purpose, unity of mind, unity of heart, and there's this incredible response to that. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. Enlivened by the Spirit, powered by the resurrection, they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought their money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone that had need. With a unity and purpose, with one heart and with one mind, we see this incredible and radical display of generosity, selling the things that they had, putting them at the feet of those that were leading them, and saying, we trust the power of God to do something significant with the things that we are sharing. What I'm not here to do today is to challenge you to sell your house and bring me the money. But if you've got an extra one and you want to support the church, will allow you to do that. This text, I don't think, is telling us that we need to give in this extravagant way, because we live in a different culture, we live in a different context, but there's a spirit that's moving within this text that I think can lead us in a way to share with one another, to build one another up in a form of discipleship. That this passage is not necessarily a blueprint, and neither is Acts 2, but it points to something bigger. It's not a model to replicate, but it's a display of the dynamic power of God. This radical sharing challenges us, yes, that we should probably be challenged to give in different ways, but the substance of the story inspired sharing. the substance of the story inspired sharing. So what was the substance? The substance was a group of believers that embodied the witness of the message of Jesus. A group of believers that embodied this message of Jesus. So everything that they did, everything that they had, they shared with one another in a way to advance the mission of Christ. So what does that look like for us? What does that look like for Trinity Gufford? If we embody the message, if we invite the Holy Spirit to do something among us, if we say we want to live in response to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, what does it look like for us to share among ourselves in a way that amounts to measureless grace? What does it look like for us? I think it looks like faithfully participating in the ministries of this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, your witness. That as you joined this church, if you joined this church, you stood before this body and say, I make a covenant with you. I believe that God has led me to be this place. I confess my belief in Jesus Christ as Lord, and I think that in this place, I need to make a covenant with each of you to share my presence, to share my prayers, to share my gifts, to share my service, and to share my witness. That I have all of these things, I have the ability to do all of these things, and I've recognized that this place and these people are the ones that God has called me to share the things that He's given me. So what does it look like to share prayer? Prayer is this spiritual discipline, and it's this gift that it connects us to God and it connects us to God's purpose. But as we pray for one another, it strengthens our bonds together. It's a practice that when we share in it together, it causes walls to shake. I don't know about you that may have participated in our 24 hours of prayer, but for me, it shook my walls. I think as we invited the Holy Spirit to do something in this place and in this church, people dedicating themselves to praying for all of the Lord's people and praying for the Lord to do something, I believe something began to shake in this place. That as we pray together and as we share our prayers, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. We invite the power of the resurrection to be a reality among us all. It's an invitation. And it's a sharing to participate in what the Holy Spirit can do with the same power that brought Jesus back to life. What does it look like to share our presence? Presence is an invitation to be exposed to the teaching of Christ and to the body of Christ. It's an invitation to share in the teachings that shape our values and our priorities and our expectations. And a lot of times your presence makes a statement. Sometimes your presence is a difficult thing because life is hard. It's hard to kind of carve out a time to get all of the kids ready, to get out of bed, to shake off a sickness, to find yourself in this place. And knowing that times it's very difficult for you to be here, when I see you, know that your presence has shaped me. That your presence is a witness to many people because it's not easy to give up part of a life that's free. Or is it free? Maybe your presence here is an expression of freedom. To participate in a story bigger than yours. Presence is standing around with a cup of coffee and a donut and telling stories about the week. Reflecting on the message maybe that you just heard. Laughing about life. Presence is maybe you're an empty nester and you find a parent that is walking through the difficulties of parenthood and you share life with them. You share your experiences. And your presence in turn has encouraged somebody that's had a difficult week. Presence is a powerful thing that declares my life is more full and stronger when I share it with the body of Christ. How do we share our gifts? Sharing your gifts challenges you to invest in something larger than yourself. To take what we have, to take what we've been blessed with, to connect it to the giving of others and create something that will honor and glorify God. We share our financial gifts to make manifest what we profess with our mouths. to make something tangible. That's what we see in this radical generosity of this passage, responding to what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of someone's heart. They give in a way that really doesn't make any sense. It's this tangible sign of something happening on the inside, visible signs of the depth and the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, recognizing that everything that we have is a gift from God. And I want to connect and share with the body of Christ so that more kingdom work can be done. About your service. Sharing in service is where we put ourselves on the line to do something. To be the body incarnate. We become the hands of Christ, comforting those that are anxious, healing those that are hurt, feeding the hungry, visiting the lonely, giving hope to the hopeless. Serving in our youth and children ministries, trying to build them up to be faithful followers of Christ, offering ourselves to serve in our outreach programs so that someone outside of this space may be touched by the gifts of somebody else. Gift of service is perhaps saying that I'm going to take time out of my life to make a statement to my children and to my coworkers that serving in the name of Christ is more powerful than anything else I can do in this world. It's a gift that you get to share with your actions. Service. It's a witness. Sharing our witness as we walk through this journey, as we praise and glorify and worship God with our actions, we also have words. A testimony about an experience that we share with the church. We have our stories. We testify to the work of the Spirit in our lives. We testify to the powerful work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We let people know what Jesus has done inside of us. We share our stories to build up people. Christ first became real for me in watching the body of Christ. As a kid, watching people serve within the church, be Sunday school teachers, prepare a meal, chaperone a trip, giving up their time to serve the community, I recognized that there was something that was driving people. There was something that they were connected to. There was something more. I first fell in love with Jesus when I listened to my peers share their stories, the things that they were struggling with in life. In the midst of their struggles, Jesus met them in the middle of it and began to transform their life with the love that was beyond their understanding. And in response to the love that had transformed their heart, they served me. They extended that love to me. I fell in love with Jesus. I fell more in love with Jesus, and I made mistakes. But what I noticed, I became less and less content with the things of the world. And on the other side of these mistakes, I found myself on my knees saying, I want more of you, Jesus, and less of everything else. And then I met a girl. And I knew I loved Jesus, but she taught me how to seek him. She challenged me. She shared her passion with me. She had a passion to seek him in prayer and worship, and she taught me how to pray and worship more passionately and not to settle for simply saying I love Jesus, but to say that I want a relationship with him. And as we grew together in the love of Christ, rooted and established in God's love, we grew together. A few years later, this church invited me into a room to share your teenagers with me. And in that space, I was challenged to go deeper. Deeper in the Word, deeper in my faith, deeper and deeper. It was in this place that the Lord called me into something greater. And then the people of this church shared words of encouragement. They shared their prayers. They shared their gifts, empowering me to follow my call and allowing me to trust the power of a God that was alive in this place. My story is what it is because faithful followers of Jesus share their prayers, their presence, their gifts, their service, and their witness. This is my story. This is my song. And perhaps preparation for this sermon, I came across a question from a commentator that asked, in light of this passage. The commentator asked, what does the resurrection of Jesus make possible? What does the resurrection of Jesus make possible? I think it makes possible a community of believers full of the Holy Spirit and the dynamic power of God, sharing one heart and one mind. The resurrection of Jesus makes it possible for no one to claim anything as their own, but to share everything that they have. The resurrection of Jesus makes possible that there to be great power working among us to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus makes possible for God's grace to be so powerfully at work in all of us. And there's nothing that I want more for God's great grace to be a powerfully at work in each of us, building us up to be more like Christ, to be disciples, to follow hard after what is true, empowered not by our own will, not by a denomination, but the Spirit of God and the dynamic power of God driving us forward and building us up in His immeasurable grace as we disciple each other. Prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. May that be our story and our song. May that be our story and our song, that enlivened by the Spirit, we are a people of God that trust the power of God to do something significant with all of the things that we have and share it. Share everything we have. Good and gracious God, we give thanks for the reality of your presence. We give thanks for the invitation to be a part of your body. We give thanks for access to the power of Christ. We give thanks for every gift that we have, recognizing that all the things that we have come from you. Recognizing who you are, recognizing who we can be, recognizing what is available to us. May we be so bold to open ourselves up and share the things that we have with the body of Christ. Connecting with you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, recognizing that when we unite with you and unite with one another, pursuing the kingdom of heaven on earth, we're called to share. So give us a prayer to pray. Give us the energy to be present. Give us the boldness to use our gifts. Give us the courage to serve. Give us the words worthy to bear witness to the work that you've done in our hearts, so that we can share those words, those stories, and this gift that you've given to us. Not to say it's mine, but it's yours. Not to us, God, not to us, but to you,